Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to be taking a look at your pet's health today on the show. And our guest, Dr. Sandy Sawchuk, clinical instructor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine. She's been with us a long time. We were talking about before the show, and I think she said 1992 was her first time on the show. So she's been with us for a long time. And you're going to be hearing her voice in a matter of a couple of minutes. But first, I'm welcoming in our WPR director, Mike Crane. Mike, good to see you.
Good to be here.
Well, and he's here because today is the first day of our year-end member drive, and it's Giving Tuesday, so that's perfect, too. It's a global celebration of generosity. And WPR is listener-supported, so your gift right now will help ensure the programs you rely on have a strong start in 2020. So choose WPR this gift-giving Tuesday. Make your WPR programs possible as we head into the new year when you give. Where do you go? Well, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And we've been doing pretty well so far. Last hour was good.
Yeah, it really was. It was really fun to run into the studio. And the first thing Larry said to me during the break was, you know, we had a goal of three people making a contribution. And we heard from 19. It's really wonderful. New and returning members, thank you for those gifts. And right now we have a special opportunity, which is that when you make your gift of any amount, $5, $500, $5,000, whatever works for you, then current donors are going to make an additional donation of $100 for each and every gift.
So, everyone.
That's right. It's a great way to get involved and make the dollars work harder for public radio.
It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio so you can increase the impact of your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
So I find myself picturing one of those really big slices of pizza that you get sometimes, that a big slice, the biggest slice of WPR's support is listeners like you. So, you know, we have those other funding sources to be sure, and we work hard to secure them. The state and federal government support, business support is very important, and your contribution makes a huge difference. WPR is the amazing and the varied service that it is thanks to your support. So keep independent, high-quality programs on the air when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And how do you know it's time to donate to WPR? Well, frankly, you're listening right now.
It's a member drive, yes.
It's our member drive. And whether you tune in for one favorite program or you check in repeatedly throughout the day or the week, you've made a habit of listening.
That's right. So now make a habit of giving. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR. When you give, you make programs like The Larry Mueller Show and the upcoming conversation with Sandy Sawchuk possible. It's something you rely on, and it is easy to donate. Get started right now with your gift of $10 or $20 or $30 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have an exciting drawing this drive. Donate any amount and you'll have five chances to win a Sonos One smart speaker. No contribution is necessary. You can send in a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Smart Speaker Drawing at 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Mike Crane. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And, you know, your contribution is maybe $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
Yep, we'd love to hear from you right now. And we value your time. We know you do. And so we make sure that giving to WPR takes just a few minutes. We need simple stuff: your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, that's pretty important, and how you'd like to pay.
Quick and easy to do, and your gift right now really helps. So take the few minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you've been an annual giver, you give once every year or so, How about amping it up a bit and becoming a sustaining member with a monthly gift from your bank account or credit card? That's really easy to work out at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, this hour, WPR will receive an additional $100 when you donate any amount. So give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And increase the impact of your support for WPR as we head into the new year.
I always love reading the comments that come from our listeners. Deb from Sheboygan says, I wish I could pledge more. Like many supporters, I listen every day. While I'm away from home, my cat Sophie has the radio tuned to WPR. And because of your excellent shows, Deb says, Sophie is the smartest cat I know.
And Sophie, it's a good day for Sophie to be listening, too, because
right.
We've got Dr. Sandy Sawchuk here today. So I'll tell you what, if you're not a sustainer, you could become one right now. Easy to set up monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. A great way to provide ongoing support for the programs you love. And Mike, you'll come back and be with us again, I hope.
Oh, yes.
He will be back, but right now we're going to visit with Dr. Sandy Sawchuk from the University of Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine, taking a look at your pet's health. Questions for her, give a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you, Dr. Sandy. Welcome back.
It is so nice to be back in the studio, Larry.
You know, the National Dog Show was held not long ago, and
yeah.
Your type of dog
yes.
won, the bulldog.
You got it. The bulldog came as the national champion, and I have such misgivings about this because anytime a dog becomes that popular that they're now the national champion, a lot of people want one. And I just wanted to, you know, let people know that although I have bulldogs, I'm a veterinarian, and I have health insurance for my pet insurance for all three of my dogs because even as a veterinarian, they have so many health issues that I need to have that help with being able to take care of them. I can do some of it by myself, but often I have to rely on my colleagues. And I wanted to use my dog, Nigel, as an example. He's the newest one that was given to me a year ago. And, you know, my husband always says, yeah, you know, you never get anything for free. But yeah, so he was given to me a year ago. He's already had both of his elbows worked on for bilateral elbow dysplasia, which is an inherited disease in the breed. You know, he's your typical bulldog. He liked to snore a lot. He would tire pretty easily when he would play. Still had a puppy play drive, but would tire a little easily. And his favorite position to sleep in was up on the couch, and it looked cute with his head resting on the arm. But then things started happening. He started regurgitating, which is almost like vomiting, except he would just randomly food would come up without any abdominal press or any warning. And I was like, enough, we got to figure all this out. So I had one of my colleagues who's a soft tissue surgeon, when I took him in to be neutered, to evaluate his airway. And before they could even neuter him, let's go down the list of what he had done. He had to have his nostrils widened. Okay, so he had a little plastic surgery done on his nose, which is actually pretty major surgery because they bleed a lot. And so he had stitches in his nose to get his airway open. They took about an inch off of his soft palate, which is the part of the back of your throat that was actually hanging in his airway, obstructing his breathing. Once they got that out of the way, they were able to look in his larynx or his voice box, and there are two little structures that sit on either side of the voice box that usually sit outside the voice box called laryngeal saccules. They're like little balloons. All his excessive huffing and puffing had caused those to get sucked into his airway, so they were obstructing his airway, was then causing the cartilage of his larynx to start to collapse. So every time he would breathe, his cartilage would narrow, and that made it even harder to breathe. All of this effort ended up sucking his stomach into his chest cavity, and he had what's called a sliding hiatal hernia, which was resulting in him vomiting, or I should say regurgitating. And so he had everything that we could fix, we had fixed. Obviously, you can't fix the cartilage, and we left his stomach as it was because it was back in position again where it should be in his abdominal cavity.
And but this is supposedly a high-end
dog. His mom was a champion, and you know everybody, you know, he had high expectations for being a show dog. Well, no. It's amazing. He can sleep in any position now. He doesn't snore, and he can play and keep up with other dogs that aren't bulldogs. So if someone like me can own one of these dogs and just go, oh, the snoring's cute, uh-uh. You know, and this is just some of the problems they have. Eye issues, skin issues, other problems with their tail folds and things, and other orthopedic issues. So just beware, even though that dog is the champion in the country, it's consumer beware whenever you're looking at a breed of dog, especially any of the brachycephalic or the squish face dog breeds.
There you go. Something to think about twice or maybe right. three or four times before
talk
you...
Talk to people before you start saying, yeah. I want one of these dogs, especially someone that owns one and has gone through all of this.
Kent and Pulaski will give you a chance to join in. Hi, Kent.
Hey, how you doing? I have a dog. It's actually mine and my sister's dog, a 12-year-old lab, maybe mixed or something. Oh, man, this dog is so active and just wants to play. But it's got some arthritis in its hip. And I know that the medicine starts with the G-O-L, something for the arthritis. But what I'm trying to get at is this dog still wants to go, and I'm like, they want you to just go to the chucker and swim. This dog, I would not be afraid to take a Frisbee at halftime, and it would catch it every time. And now she's slowing down a little bit, Bernice. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's actually Bernie. And I just wondered, because, you know, I'd take her for a walk and stuff. And she's right there, but she always wants the ball or anything. She'll find anything, a stick or anything.
Yeah. But you want to make her comfortable and have her be comfortable as she is getting into her senior years. And, you know, when we're looking at dealing with arthritis, which often many dogs that are 12 years old, especially large breed dogs, are going to have some joint changes. Probably number one is make sure that their weight is normal. And so labs are notorious for carrying those extra pounds, and especially as they get older and they may not be as active because they're hurting, it's easier to put weight on. So talk to your veterinarian about what would be the appropriate number of calories for your dog to be on to get weight off. The other thing that we'd want to be looking at is some type of pain control. And supplements and things that I think you were mentioning, glucosamine, chondroitin sulfate, and I know some people are even, you know, jumping to using things like CBD oil. Will they help? Maybe. Are they going to hurt? Probably not. The thing that's going to help the most is having your dog, if they can tolerate it, being on some type of pain medication that's an anti-inflammatory. And this would be something that you'd have to talk to your veterinarian about to make sure that your dog can tolerate them. They can be irritating to the stomach. They can affect the liver, but most dogs tolerate them very well. And there's other classes of pain medications that we mm-hmm. can use. And that would be the place to also be bringing up with your veterinarian what their opinion is on using some of these other supplements. And the issue with CBD oil is there's so many brands out there that we don't know which ones, you know, are you getting what's actually on the label? Do they work? The research is still going on. I know Cornell University and I think Pennsylvania are doing some research right now using CBD products on arthritis, and the data is not been back yet, but we'll be probably seeing that soon. And it's also being looked at for controlling seizures. The company that There's a couple of companies out there that we know are fairly reputable, and I'm sure there's other ones out there as well. But the two that are working with current vet schools, one is called Elevet, E-L-L-E-V-E-T. They're out of the East Coast. And then another company called ABSC, and they're the company that's working with Colorado State University. So those would be ones that you may want to look into, but I know there are other companies out there. But talk to your veterinarian. There's lots and lots of things that we can do for your dog.
Dr. Sandy Sawchuk, our guest today here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller. Mike Crane joins us once again. Today is Giving Tuesday. It's a global celebration of generosity, and it's your time to take some action. So set your favorite programs up for success in 2020 with your gift during our year-end member drive. And maybe you've already given this year, or maybe you make ongoing monthly gifts. Today, make a special year-end gift for the programs you rely on all year long. Just takes a couple of minutes at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And obviously, wonderful conversations like this where we learn about our pets and how dear they are to our hearts and how worrisome sometimes. Just really a wonderful reason to make your pledge of support or your contribution right now. And here's another reason. We have a great opportunity. Some current members are donating an additional $100 when you give. So that's as many people as give. There'll be another $100 for WPR, whatever amount you pledge. So get in touch right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
On this program, we cover topics like environmental and consumer issues. We talk gardening, lots of how-to topics, Wisconsin authors, Wisconsin foods. I think you get a lot of great information from this program, and it's possible because of your financial support of WPR. Support this program and all the other programs you enjoy on the Ideas Network with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
It's really simple to support Wisconsin Public Radio, and the easiest thing is to set up a sustaining membership. You'll make ongoing monthly gifts from your bank account or your credit or debit card.
Some people give $10 a month. Many give $15 or $20. Pick the amount that works for you and become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And then sit back and enjoy the ease and convenience of supporting the programs you value.
WPR is a statewide resource, and so are WPR members. Since 2010, you've provided nearly 400,000 meals through food bank gifts. Join together with your fellow WPR members this season to help end hunger in Wisconsin. Ask for one of the food bank gifts with your donation of $10 or $20 a month. Here's how.
Just give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Mike Crane. Listener support's the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your support during this year-end member drive is so important. And maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
Well, and I know a perfect way to make that $10 a month contribution work even harder, or that $100 contribution, and that is that we have an opportunity right now to have some current members spend $100 for every single contribution that's made during this hour. So
that's amazing.
They want to inspire you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So boost the impact of your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
At WPR, you get to choose how much to give. A contribution, any amount makes a difference. Here's some suggested amounts. The same amount you pay per month for Netflix or maybe cable.
Yeah, and how about coffee? I know that would add up to a lot for many of us. And it's probably something you look forward to every day or even several times a day in my case. You give right now, but pick the amount that makes you feel like you can make a difference, because you will, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, this hour, WPR will receive an additional $100 when you donate any amount. So give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and increase the impact of your support for WPR as we head into 2020. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Dr. Sandy Sawchuk, as we take a look at your pet's health here on the Ideas Network. And we're going to go right to the phones. And Brad in Lake Geneva has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My cat is a 13-year-old domestic short-haired male, and I give him as a treat approximately a tablespoon of lactate milk, because I know that lactate is better for cats than regular milk. Recently, I saw that lactate milk sometimes comes fortified without extra calcium, and I thought, would that be good or would that be bad?
Well, the little bit that you're using is probably not going to bother your cat too much. And so I would really, really wouldn't worry about it. You're right. Many cats are lactose intolerant. And so using regular milk, and it doesn't matter whether it's fat-free or whatever, because it's the sugar that they become have an issue with that can cause some GI distress, it can be a problem for some cats. So if your cat likes that treat and it's a good bonding event, by all means, continue on with it. That little bit of calcium that it's in there is not going to throw off the balance of your cat's diet. So unless your cat has some weird health problem that has they're hypercalcemic for some reason, then that could be an issue. But that is such a rare condition that I would not be concerned at all.
There you go, Brad. Thank you for calling. Pete in Wales will go to you. Hi, Pete.
Hello. Thank you, Larry and Dr. Sawchuk. I have a Springer Spaniel, and he was diagnosed in July with vestibular syndrome. And the vet said very likely it's a tumor on the brain. He's not getting any worse, but he's not getting any better. But my point is that back in July, the vet implied that he would only be around for another month or two. Was this a misdiagnosis or is it just
That's a really good question, because without actually having your dog in front of me to be able to do a full physical exam that includes an exam of the nervous system, it's difficult to say where in the vestibular system, which is the balance system, the problem is. The balance system is made up of a couple of different parts. There's one part out in the ear, which is, if you go on the tilt-a-whirl, is what ends up causing you to become dizzy. And then the rest of it, it feeds into the brain. So we have what's called the peripheral vestibular system that's in the kind of the hidden part of the ear in the middle type. Ear cavity. And then there is the stuff that's in the brain, the part that's in the brain. And so if your veterinarian did an exam and found other things to say that there's brain involvement, such as other cranial nerves involved, maybe your dog had some pupil differences or inability to swallow normally, or facial droops and things like that, or maybe not knowing where their feet are in space, and having some other issues, then they may be closer to saying this might be a brain problem. But sometimes, even as veterinarians, we can be stumped, and we have to look at getting extra imaging done to be able to look at the brain and the ear cavity to see where the problem is. I would think that if your dog did have a brain tumor, yes, you would be seeing other symptoms by now, because now we're looking at about 6 months into it. And so I'm wondering if it is a misdiagnosis and this is more of a peripheral vestibular problem. It's time to go back to your veterinarian again, or perhaps get a second opinion from a veterinary neurologist to be able to see if there's something that we can do to improve your dog's quality of life.
There you go, Pete. Good luck. Thank you for calling. Marie in Pewaukee will go to you now. Hi, Marie.
Hi. Nice talking to you. I listen regularly.
Thank you.
My question is to the vet, is my cat, he's 4 years old. He absolutely will not go into a crate. He's overdue for a vet visit, and I can't get him in the crate. It might sound strange, but it's true.
It is probably one of the number one reasons when owners are polled as to why they don't take their cat to the vet is because they have a hard time getting them in the crate. And so there are a number of tricks that we use. One of them is using a crate that you can dismantle, that that loads from the top rather than the front.
That's
so
what I have.
Yeah. So really look at the type of crate that you're using. And what I like to have owners do is dismantle the crate and have just the lower half there and have it become part of the cat's living space. You can put a nice blanket in there. You can throw treats in there. And so it's not a thing that takes the cat in the car to the veterinarian. It's now a cat bed. And eventually what you can do is put the lid on it without the door on it and have still your cat getting treats and being fed in there. Eventually you attach the door and you can train, you can leave the lid open on the top if you've got the top loading type model. And what we're doing is training the cat that the crate is not an evil place, that it doesn't take you someplace where things happen to you that you may not find pleasant. There are lots of resources online. The Ohio State University has a lovely website called the Indoor Cat Initiative, and I believe that they have some tips on how to get your cat in a crate. There's even YouTube videos and things on doing this. And it is something that you can get around, but you may just have to be looking at, let's get a whole new crate and start from scratch and get that cat in for his well-needed vaccines and his annual physical exam to make sure that he's staying healthy and happy.
There you go, Marie. That's, I think, some pretty darn good advice, and it's a lot easier to drop them into...
Yes, and you can have them, like you can wrap them up in a towel or something like that and put them in that way. It's still that they may not like it that way. We want to make the cat want to go into the crate because this is a fun place to go.
You mentioned vaccines, and it really is important to get those vaccines.
It really is. You know, even indoor cats need to be vaccinated. And I know that some people are afraid to vaccinate their cats because they may read things like, well, rabies vaccines can, you know, cause local reactions that can become cancerous in cats. But there are very safe rabies vaccines now available for cats. You know, in the world in general, like when you just look at rabies, people think, oh, my cat strictly indoors is never going to have rabies. We see about 60,000 people around the globe die from rabies, mainly from dog bites. But in our country, when you're looking at domestic animals, the number one domestic animal that gets diagnosed with rabies is our cat. And even indoor cats are at risk because bats are one of our carriers, and they like to come into our homes. And so we need to make sure that your pets are up to date. And remember, it's a state law for dogs, not a state law for cats, but it is a local ordinance. And it's to protect your liability as well. If your cat were to bite somebody, you need to be able to show proof of that they are vaccinated. So
there you go.
Good reason to get them in. Yep.
Melissa in Eau Claire, it's your turn now. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, thank you so much. I listen every day and I just love your show so
thank
much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I just had two quick things. So we have a five-month-old Cane Corso Mastiff, and as a larger breed dog, do we need to give him any kind of like a vitamin supplement or anything along with his puppy food?
No. What I'd be looking at is making sure that your dog is on a well-balanced, large breed growth formula, and not just a regular puppy formula, not one that says all life stages, but one that's specifically made for large breed dogs. That will have the right number of calories for evening out those growth spurts that they're going to be going through, the right level of minerals to make sure that we don't over-supplement them so that it keeps the bone growth in check. That's probably the biggest thing that you can get into trouble with is over-supplementing your puppy and pushing them to grow too rapidly. So a well-balanced commercial dog food that is specifically for large breed dogs, and don't worry about any other vitamins or anything like that.
There you go, Melissa. Thanks for calling. Vivian in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, Vivian.
What a timely, timely show. My son's cat, he lives in Madison, but right now is at the vet's. He's been there overnight with a condition called Kylothorax.
Kylothorax, yes. Okay, yeah. So, yeah. This is really worrisome because what kylothorax is when you have fluid building up between the rib cage and the lungs. It's leaking out of lymphatics that are damaged for some reason in the chest cavity. And it's a matter of trying to figure out why this material, this chyle or lymphatic solution is leaking out into your cat's chest cavity. And this is where it's probably going to take having some other imaging and things done and this, you know, getting the chest free of fluid and perhaps looking at having CT scans done of the chest or an MRI to be looking for where is the leak occurring. Because it's you know, sometimes we find that they have a tumor there that's causing the leakage. Sometimes it's, you know, actually something else that's causing it that's, you know, damage to the lymphatic. So I really think getting before you jump in to start having surgery done, you need to find out the why. And that's where visiting with the specialist is probably going to be indicated. So if your son's vet is not comfortable with doing all these other diagnostics, and I have to admit most veterinarians in private practice don't have access to some of these specialized machines to be able to do this imaging, it's time to be looking at asking for a referral.
Oh, so there you go.
I know. It's not, you know, 13-year-old cat, right in their prime, really. I mean, we see them living into their late teens long, like many, many times. But they're also in that age where we could start seeing some bad things happening. So I hope that they get good news and this is something that could be fixed.
Me as well. Thank you, Vivian, and good luck. Appreciate your call. Larry Mueller here. Mike Crane joins us during our listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio program. This is Giving Tuesday, so think about how much you've learned from, excuse me, and enjoyed WPR programs in 2019. 2020 is just around the corner, so take some action during this year-end member drive. Give the programs you rely on a strong start to the new year at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Larry, it's such a treat to be here in the studio with you and Sandy today and enjoying the very valuable conversation about the pets that are so close to our hearts and so much a part of our family. And you can hear the care in the conversation in a way that I'm really enjoying. And I hope you're enjoying it too. The evidence is you are because you're listening, and we have a great opportunity to help you make sure great stuff like this happens all the time on WPR. Some current donors will add an additional $100 for each person who makes a contribution during this hour. So you can increase the impact of your support for WPR when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Dr. Sandy Sawchuk does such a wonderful job on the program every day, and she's had some great information for you already. This whole business about bulldogs and how popular they can become now that a bulldog has won the national dog shows. The suggestion to think twice about it, I thought, was a good one. And as we were talking about rabies and the vaccinations, you need to get that done, as she says. And I think it's a pretty good example of the kinds of shows that we have here on this 11 to 12:30 time slot. We're listener-supported. That means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and the many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
We really enjoyed that conversation about the bulldog. Immediately, what came to mind for me, having lived in the South, is Ugga, the dog that's the mascot for Georgia. And how uncomfortable Ugga always seemed to me. And given the description of the challenges that those dogs may face, it's like, okay, now I understand why there's some visible discomfort perhaps for that dog. Really interesting conversation. And we'd love to have your contribution make such conversations possible. You know, once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for, and WPR is one of those places where it's true every day. So how about considering a gift of $2 a day? That's less than a cup of coffee these days to support the radio programs you love.
Really is hard to buy much for $2 these days, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of news, talk, and music possible. Works out to $60 a month, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I started donating quite a few years ago. I took the plunge. It was the first thing that I had ever done with the sustaining type of membership. It was painless, and so I've just continued. I trust Wisconsin Public Radio. I also trust them to use my money wisely. I'm Bea Liebel from Merrill, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
And it's pretty easy to do. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation. Larry Mueller with Mike Crane, your support during this year-end member drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible, of course. And maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
You know, many times people will say in conversation over coffee or at a party, you know what I just heard on WPR? Yeah. You tell people about the things you learn. Well, today I'd like to also suggest that you make a donation and then tell people you did that, that you've made a gift, and help it go further by telling friends and family.
And whether you use social media, maybe you call them or mention it when you see them, just letting your friends and family know that you support WPR will help plant that idea in their mind. So make a gift at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and then let your friends know how good it feels when you support the stations you enjoy every day.
And Larry, we are hearing from people taking advantage of the current additional gift thing that's happening. This hour, WPR will receive an additional $100 when you donate. And that's a gift being made by some current donors. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and increase the impact of your support for WPR as we head into the new year.
Absolutely. I was just thinking about sustaining members as an example to add a little. This would be a perfect time right now to add a little bit of extra money and then get another $100 from our other listeners.
That's wonderful. And you know, here's a really good reason. And this comes from Janine of Mequon. Janine says, every time I turn on WPR, I know I am going to learn something, as well as get a well-rounded perspective on any issue being discussed. And she says, keep up the phenomenal work, Larry.
Well, every gift is powerful. It really makes a difference. I hope you'll go right now to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. We're taking a look at your pet's health on the Ideas Network today. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Dr. Sandy Sawchuk from the UW School of Veterinary Medicine. Great to have her back. Lots of callers online, so we'll go to the phones here. And Michelle in Eau Claire up next. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Sandy. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You're welcome.
Wanted to let you know I'm a sustainer as well. I have an issue with my dog. She's about 6.5 years old. She has I thought it was a hot spot, and so I took her in, and they seem to think it was some sort of strep infection. It's on her rear leg. So they gave me an antibiotic and some cream, and we did that. So this has been going on since July. That didn't work. Then we went and got another round of antibiotics, and we did Apoquil to try to keep her from licking it, and of course we had the cone and everything, and that didn't work. So then we did prednisone, and that seemed to do the best, but here we are December and it's still not cleared up, and I mean, we kind of got tired of doing the cone because we've had it on for 3-4 months, and I don't know what my next course of action.
Yeah.
Do you have any suggestions?
Where is the spot located? Is it on like the distal limb, like towards the foot, or in the groin, or?
No, on the foot. On the towards the foot.
On the foot. Okay. Yeah, and a couple of things that I get concerned about. Your veterinarian sounds like they did some diagnostic work. They thought it was probably not a strep infection, but a staph infection. And that would be something that we would diagnose by doing cytology, actually getting some of the cellular material, looking under the microscope to see if there are bacteria there and perhaps culturing it. And if there are still bacteria there, obviously this needs to be treated. And sometimes when we have a longstanding infection, we have to resort to doing cultures to make sure that we are on the appropriate antibiotic, especially with skin infections, because we're seeing more and more antibiotic-resistant infections. But the fact that this is towards the foot more, what I get concerned about is there's a condition that we see in dogs that is given the nickname lick granuloma, where they just keep working and working and working, and they end up with a sore on a spot that they can easily reach. And some dogs, they start doing this because something's irritated them, and then it just becomes a habit, almost like a person that continues to bite their nails to the point where they're at the quick. The dog is doing the same thing, licking. Sometimes it can start as a behavior problem where they are worrying a spot because it the discomfort of them licking and irritating their skin releases endorphins, which makes them feel good, and they get this thing that I like to refer to as the licker's high. And it can be a problem that way. These are very difficult issues to be able to get under control. Sometimes we are looking at long-term management with things that will keep the dog from being able to get at their foot. They even make things like wraps and things that taste bad so that it keeps your dog from wanting to lick at it. Sometimes we even have to resort to using psychoactive drugs if this has become an issue where the dog has a compulsive disorder of continuing to chew at them. Often I will look at these and say, if it's a really deep, you know, granulated in area, the only way we can get a culture is to biopsy. And I'll do a biopsy to make sure it's nothing else that's there that could be a problem, to confirm what my suspicion is, that it may be this lick granuloma problem, and also to submit the biopsy for culture. Because when we start treating these, we have to have them on the appropriate antibiotic for a very long period of time. We're usually looking at about 6 weeks to 8 weeks of being on the appropriate antibiotic. So, like I said, they can be very difficult to deal with. It's time to go back to the drawing board. If your veterinarian isn't comfortable with biopsying and going through those steps, there are veterinary dermatologists around that are able to do this kind of workup to help you. It should be a pretty simple approach, and I hope that you can get some answers, because living in a cone for that long, the cone of shame is not very much fun.
No, it isn't. Michelle, thank you so much, and good luck. Appreciate your call. Jim in La Crosse, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Jim.
Morning.
Morning.
My question is, we've had some feral cats in our neighborhood. We've managed to rehome all the kittens over the last couple of years, but we've finally trapped. I've trapped both mothers, and I have them in cages. I'm going to take them in to be spayed. The one is actually got, she's real friendly. I can take her out of the cage, hold her. She watches TV. She's great. But the other one is not friendly at all. And I'm just wondering, is it possible, is there something I can do to possibly tame this cat?
Oh, that's a tough question, because when you start looking at the critical socialization age for cats, it is during that first 7 weeks of life. And so many cats that are out there that are strays are not truly feral cats. They're strays that unfortunately have just not been in a home. And so that's probably the cat that likes to watch TV with you. She got exposed to people. She likes people, but just was caught in an unfortunate situation. I don't know about the other cat. In many of those cases, they get spayed or neutered. And then if we feel that they are not going to turn around and be adoptable, there are many farms and situations like that that take these cats. There's a group in Madison called Friends of Ferals. There's another group called Cadillac Ranch Cat Rescue that is down in the Evansville, Janesville area that does a lot of this trapping of feral cats to see if they're truly feral and gets them the health needs that they need and then finds the appropriate home, whether that be a home or a farm situation. So there are places locally that you can turn to and perhaps they can help you with rehoming this cat. I don't know whether she's going to be a kitty that's going to adjust to being in the home or not. It takes time. Tough. And sometimes it just never turns out.
Jim, thank you so much for calling. Sue in Madison, what's on your mind?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I went to buy a harness today for my puppy, and the store clerk talked me out of it. He says that they don't learn that there's no consequences with harnesses. Is that true?
Well, I like to see, I mean, this is where sometimes I get a little irritated with pet store people because they may be giving you misinformation. This happens frequently. And it's, so much of training is opinion based. But when you're looking at the current training basis that most trainers use, we want to have it be where the dog is being trained where they only have good consequences, not ones that are going to be painful or scary for them. And so I like to see puppies wear a harness, and there are several types that you can use. There's one that's called the Easy Walker harness that works very well, that does up over the chest, does not put any pressure on their neck, and yet does give the dog a little bit of correction because they feel it kind of in the front of their chest. The ones that do up over the back may work for many dogs, but some of the dogs that are heavy pullers, that's why they use harnesses like that for dogs that pull sleds, because it allows them to be able to pull. So that may not be appropriate if you're working on trying to train your dog. But I would turn to the person that you're working with in your puppy training classes to see what they would recommend. My personal like is the one that's called the Easy Walker harness, but there are several other manufacturers that make similar ones like that. And avoid mm-hmm. things like pinch collars and choke collars and things, because that is going to give your dog really a negative training type method, and we don't want to have that happen.
And Sue, thank you so much for calling. I know we're going to get to pet insurance and talk a little about that at some point on the show, but Mike Crane back with us, and it's great to see his smiling face once again during our year-end member drive. Your support, vital to all the programs on WPR. It's the largest source of funding. So please take a few minutes right now on Giving Tuesday to support the programs you count on with your year-end gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Larry, it's great to see people are taking advantage of the special opportunity we have right now, which is that it's current members. There are some current members mm-hmm. who will add an extra $100 to every single gift. So that means if you are able to contribute $5, $50, $500, $5,000, whatever amount works for you, they will add another $100 because you've gotten in touch right now. So go ahead and do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And think about all of the great information that Sandy has been able to give just during the hour that she's been with us here on the Ideas Network. We're covering a whole broad range of questions relating to both cats and dogs, and she does just an absolutely wonderful job. And she likes to do it. She loves talking with listeners, and WPR loves listeners too. We're listener-supported, as a matter of fact. And that means when you give at WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you, take a couple of minutes, and then make your gift.
And it is the season of giving, and how about letting the impact of your donation to WPR go beyond great radio to help those in need in your area? When you make your contribution, ask for one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month.
Your thank you gift will provide meals to a Wisconsin food bank near you. Do two good things at once, then, with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Today is Giving Tuesday. Join this global celebration of giving and support the WPR programs that inform, enrich, and inspire you and so many others. Thank you for giving back to your community and the causes you believe in with your gift now. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution in support of these programs you count on. Larry Mueller with Mike Crane, your support today of WPR keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month or $100 a month or any amount, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And there's a great opportunity going on right now. It's a gift from current members that is depending on you. So that means that if you donate $10 or $20 or $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount is good for you, they're going to add an additional $100 because you gave. So increase the impact of your support for Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I'm here to tell you that the hour is winding up here. Now's the time. Give right now while you're thinking about it. It just takes a couple of minutes to contribute.
And then you'll have that great feeling of supporting the programs you love. So see what that's like right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, you got 60 seconds more or so to get your $100 extra when you donate. So give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and increase the impact of your support right now.
And when you do that, how about making a contribution of $10 or $20 a month and choosing the food bank gift, which helps people facing hunger in your area? Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Dr. Sandy Sawchuk is going to be with us once we get into our news, or at least after we're into the news. But right now, we've got just a few seconds more here. If you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you. You can increase your support today. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Your gift right now is so important. Thanks so much if you've already contributed. If you haven't, do it now. Taking a look at your pet's health on the Ideas Network with Dr. Sandy Sawchuk from the UW School of Veterinary Medicine. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining in today. Really appreciate it. Dr. Sandy, we had a sewer on earlier who also had a question about pet insurance. What's your opinion of it? Well, obviously you like it, but
yeah.
Are there insurances? What should we look for?
Okay. Well, there's a website that I always refer people to. It's called Pet Insurance University, and that's an easy place to go to get started looking at the different companies that are out there, because there's more and more companies coming out with pet insurance policies, and they all are tweaked a little bit differently. Remember, pet insurance is very different than human health insurance. We, as humans, we go to the doctor, we get treated, and you may have to pay a copay or something, but you don't get hit with the entire bill. And in the veterinary world, this is something, it works very differently. You see your veterinarian, they do what needs to get done for your pet, and then you pay your bill and you turn that in, along with medical records, to the insurance company. And there's usually you pay a deductible, and then you get so much, like, whatever you want. Some companies pay 70% back, some pay 80%, it varies. And this is something that you need to look into. I advise people to probably avoid getting the wellness insurance, because that's usually a very affordable thing to do and something that you should be doing. But for things like the big surgeries that my dog has just gone through, it has been a lifesaver. He's a year and 2 months old, and I personally have already dropped about $5,000 on his health care. And so it's really made the difference between me being able to afford to keep him or not. Yeah. So I would have done it anyways, but
it helps when 80% or whatever is being covered.
Right, definitely.
Well, Mary in Wauwatosa has a question or comment. Let's go there. Mary, hello.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have two Siamese kittens. They're going to be 5 months and 2 weeks. They're same father, different mothers. But my little girl won't stop suckling. And I read online to let her suckle a blanket or whatever. And it's just, I was wondering, is it going to ease up?
Oh, you know, this is one of those things where Siamese cats, actually, they have a behavior problem that's named after them called wool-sucking Siamese cats. And, you know, they just seem to be overrepresented as a breed that does this non-nutritional sucking behavior. But we know that cats that are weaned too early, and since they did come from different mothers, there's a possibility that the girl may have been weaned before the boy. Sometimes that can result in them having this persistent non-nutritional sucking behavior. And I always recommend, you know, trying to redirect them to safe things that they can suck on and not ingest or have a problem. My own daughter has a cat that is now about 4 years of age, and she still has a white, it's not white in the spot that he likes to nurse on, but bathrobe that as a kitten he would knead and suckle on a spot on it. And she still keeps that out. And every once in a while, Enzo, she puts that on and he just comes over and gets glazed and eyed and just starts, you know, kneading and suckling on her bathrobe. So it is a bizarre behavior. It may persist for a long time, but I think that if you can direct it to one item, then you have the ability to control it because you can put that item away and the cat will develop other behaviors to keep themselves occupied.
There you go, Mary.
My daughter's going to be so embarrassed that I brought that up because it's got this brown stain because saliva turns this rusty brown color when it gets turned exposed to light. And no matter how much she's bleached or washed this thing, it's Enzo's bathrobe. Yeah.
So there you go, Mary. Thanks so much for calling. Oh, Basil in Menominee Indian Reservation, your turn. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hello, Larry. I love your programs, many, many programs I've listened to. Dr. Sandy, I have an English Mastiff, and he is the spoiled English Mastiff. And for whatever reason, he only speaks Menominee. he won't answer you if you try to speak to him in English.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he does hand signals in the Menominee language, and that's all he does. But, you know, being up here in the woods, a lot of wood ticks.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tried hard to keep him off him when he was a puppy. And he got bit right in the forehead. I got him his Lyme disease shot, and 2 weeks later, he got bit in the forehead, and he's had Lyme disease ever since. And he is 5.5 years old right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he hasn't really had any symptoms with Lyme disease. But I'm just wondering, there's got to be something I can do. I'm willing to do anything to... You know, I don't like the fact that he has Lyme disease.
Yeah.
And I want to get it cured.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Most of the dogs that get exposed to the Lyme organism will continue to test positive through their life but not show symptoms. It's about 90% of dogs remain asymptomatic throughout their life. Very different than in the human world where it's actually the reverse. You know, most of us that get exposed to Lyme are going to become symptomatic. And so we see a lot of these dogs that walk around with a positive test that we can do nothing about. Treatment's not going to make any difference. It's not going to change the dog's outcome. The only time we usually treat a dog with clinical Lyme is when they either have what's called Lyme nephritis, where it's a kidney involvement, and that's the worst kind of Lyme disease that a dog can get. And then we also see a joint form in dogs where they develop warm, painful joints. They're very uncomfortable, and that typically is very responsive to an antibiotic called doxycycline, which is a synthetic tetracycline. But if your dog is asymptomatic, meaning showing no symptoms of Lyme, but is just testing positive, continue your good work on keeping the ticks off your dog. There are many products out there that do a good job. Everything from something like a collar that lasts for about 8 months called the Seresto collar to oral tablets that last for 1 to 3 months, depending on the brand that you're using, where you're not having to put anything on the outside of your dog, to even other spot-on products, things like Frontline, and there's other similar type products like that. So, you know, talk to your veterinarian about what they would be recommending. I love the oral products just because my dogs like to go out and roll and they pull collars off each other. So I use the a product called Brevecto, which is given every 3 months. But many vets like NexGard. There's another one that's called Simparica. Credelio is another one. So there's several of them that are out there that will help keep your dog free of ticks so that they don't continue to get exposed.
And thank you very much for calling, Basil. Appreciate your call very much. Annie in Duluth, Minnesota, your turn. Hi.
Hi, and thank you for providing this service. I am a person who's at the point in my life where I do rescue dogs, and that's the only kind of animal I have at this point. And I get them, and they're in terrible shape, of course, and usually need immediate veterinary care, and that means that, of course, everything that they have is a pre-existing condition, and I can't do insurance for them. And I'm wondering, do you know of any way around that?
Workarounds.
Yeah. Boy, I mean, professionally, I would never risk my license to if a dog has a pre-existing condition, it has a pre-existing condition. And so to ask a veterinarian to falsify records, it would be extremely inappropriate. And I don't know how you would get around it. I think sometimes we have to just assume that you may be able to get insurance, but it may not cover things like orthopedic disease, or it may not cover if the dog has underlying heart disease or something like that. That is the big issue with pet insurance, is that the sooner you can get your dog on it or cat on it before they start having any underlying issues, the easier it's going to be able to find a company that will provide for your pet. There's even some companies that have, according to different breeds, different cost scales, because some breeds cost more than others. There are some companies that every year that your dog lives, the rate goes up because they assume that as your dog gets older, they're going to start having problems. And these are all things that you need to investigate before you start looking into getting pet insurance. I applaud you for adopting rescue dogs, but that is going to be one of the big issues, is how are you going to find insurance? Go to that website and do a little comparison. You may be surprised. There may be some companies out there that be willing to take you on. You may have an extremely high deductible, but you'd be able to at least cover some catastrophic emergencies that may come up.
And that was PetInsuranceUniversity.com.
Yep.
PetInsuranceUniversity.com. Thanks, Ann, for calling. Scott in Fond du Lac. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Dr. Sandy. I have a question about our 9-year-old mini pincher.
Okay.
The last couple of weeks, he's been kind of limping on one of his front legs. Now, when we take him for a walk or something goes by and excites him, there doesn't seem to be a problem. But if we come home and he meets us off the couch or something, he's favoring one of his paws or leg. And I can play with the leg. I can squeeze the paw. There's no apparent discomfort. but we can't figure out if it's arthritic or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, whenever adrenaline is involved, we can see dogs going from limping to being normal because that's just a kind of a normal response, unless they've got something, you know, really severely wrong with the leg. I still encourage you to take your dog to your veterinarian to be evaluated. We do all these range of motions and joint palpations and things to be able to find out where the dog could be uncomfortable. Things that you may not be putting your dog through at home, so that we can find out, is there something there that we can do something about? I've had something as simple as the dog has a slightly broken toenail, and that's the only thing that's causing it, and it's a simple fix. And so, you know, it may be something more serious, it may be something very minor, but try to get your dog in, because 2 weeks of limping is not a great way to spend the rest of the year. right. So try to get your dog in. I think that would be a very, very helpful.
And Larry in Chautauqua, hello to you. Thanks for calling.
Hello, and thanks for the program. My situation, it involves, I have a lady friend, I'll call her my girlfriend. She's been around 2 years. She has her house, I have my house. But she brings her puppy out to the farm, and it won't come up to me. And it stays its distance. And the dog is a rescue dog. She's had the dog for 7 years. And her theory is that I should ignore the dog.
I agree. I sort of agree with your girlfriend. I think that sometimes we put too much effort into trying to have the dog come to us, direct eye contact, leaning over the dog, reaching for the dog, and that can trigger some fear response. And so sometimes giving the dog the cold shoulder and maybe just tossing treats its way is going to change the dog's point of view as to you being the scary person. So I agree with your girlfriend to a degree. But I think that it would also help if you can find something that really is going to make that dog like you, like little chunks of freeze-dried liver or chicken or something like that, to have that dog start thinking that you're a pretty good deal. You're not going to scare me, but boy, you give great treats.
I love that piece of advice. Dr. Sandy Sawchuk, our guest from the University of Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine. Always great to have her come by and visit with us. And I know she will continue to be doing that for a while, too. Mike Crane, always great to see him as well come by during our year-end member drive. He's here with me. You count on WPR for in-depth discussions, and it's your support that keeps these conversations going strong. So Giving Tuesday today, and your gift right now makes a big difference both this year and as we head into 2020 at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Well, Larry, we had a great hour last hour, gangbusters. We had that $100 extra for every pledge, so that was terrific. 52 donors, new and renewing, got in touch with us, and that's great. Thank you to everyone who gave, and our goal in this half hour is to find another 15 people to join as members.
WPR is listener-supported, and that means that these goals are very important. They help us stay on track to fund the programs you count on. Do your part now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
What a great hour we've had. Fascinating information, whether it was from bulldogs or how to make sure your dog can learn to walk safely and not pull you over, or some really interesting health issues that dogs face. That's just one example of all of the great information that you get on the Ideas Network. You name it, you've heard it on the Ideas Network. Environment, great books, interesting history, our pets, all kinds of things. Science, how to figure out computers, the weather. It's a valuable service worth supporting.
So make your contribution of $10 or $20 a month or whatever amount you choose to support these WPR programs you enjoy. Your chance now to make the programs possible at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
This member drive, we have an exciting drawing. It's for a Sonos One smart speaker. That's one of those speakers that you talk to and that it can play the radio or give you the weather, whatever. And you have five chances to win. You don't have to contribute, but we sure hope you will. And you can see all the details at WPR.org/drawing. And you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A mail carrier from northern Wisconsin says WPR, especially Larry Mueller, is a lifeline for all mail carriers. Listen all day, every day. And I, you know, we have a reputation for quality and substance. Your contribution, like those mail carriers, helps us get to where we need to get every day. And your gift today will make us strong into the future.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you because your dollars give Wisconsin Public Radio the means to keep that quality and substance that you count on in our programs every single day. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you've never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before because you don't think you can give enough to make a difference, I hope you will think again about that. It's gifts from thousands of people combined together that make our programs possible.
Larry, many first-time donors like to try $10 or $20 a month for their donation for WPR Listening. You decide. That's the amount that works for you, whether it's $10, $15, $25 a month. It's up to you. And then join this team effort with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Around the holidays, you may have bought some strange gifts.
Taxidermy bugs would be probably the strangest gift.
And so my sister-in-law thought it would be hilarious to send us like a bacon subscription.
The strangest gift I ever got was a Sex Pistols tape that my uncle got me when I was 4.
Dirt. This holiday season, consider a much more practical gift. Support Wisconsin Public Radio today. Your year-end gift makes the news, talk, and music you rely on possible, and it's tax-deductible. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your future self will thank you.
Give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Mike Crane. Listener support's the biggest source of funding for the programs you rely on, and that's why your support during this year-end member drive is so important. And maybe your gift is $10 a month, or maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Well, Larry, it seems people are hearing the message. We set a goal of 15 pledgers for this half hour, and we are there and a little bit over. That's terrific. If you've heard the message, now is a great time for you to join in. Your gift right now is so important because when you give, you support the programs you rely on every day.
Thank you if you've already given, and if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
It may seem strange. We will give you amounts, but we really leave it up to you. There's no specific bill for public radio. You get to decide how much to give, and maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
That might be what you might spend every month on going out to dinner or doing things with friends. Those are things you enjoy, and that makes life better, just like listening to WPR. The important thing is that you decide what amount's right for you and then make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
So join your friends and neighbors who believe in the value of WPR and believe in supporting it. It takes the support of well more than 50,000 members to make Wisconsin Public Radio as good as it can be.
When you make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you will be doing your part to make sure that news and information you need is here every day.
So you create Wisconsin Public Radio and you just put it out there and you say, hey, could you help us do this? It's a really unusual kind of a business model. It's an honor system. You don't have to pay for it. You really don't. It's here for you whether you can pay for it or not. But when you do choose to support it, you make all the WPR programs that you value possible. So how about a gift right now of $10 a month?
$10 a month would be great. Christine in La Crosse said she just moved to Wisconsin with her family, and they instantly began listening to WPR to learn about the local political scene, hear about the great things that's happening in our state. Tell you what, you could join Christine right now with a gift, and it could be, we don't care, any amount. When your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 comes in, you're going to feel good, and we certainly are going to feel good too, Mike.
Absolutely. We've got less than a minute here with this break, so we'd love to hear from you right now. We've heard from 19 people so far, and that is terrific in this half hour. How about you? WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've already given, thank you so much. If you haven't given, now is the time to do it before the end of the show. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Again, thank you so much for supporting us and for being great listeners. We love you.